Chapter 4, Implementing the Municipal Plan. Once we have a municipal plan, we need to find a way to implement that vision. There's many ways to implement that vision, and communities are going to have to find a local fit that works best for their community. There are two basic methods of implementing a plan. The first is non-regulatory implementation. The other method is regulatory implementation. We will talk about both of those. Non-regulatory implementation of the municipal plan. The question arises, how can we plan for land use without regulating it? Well, the answer is that there are many ways to plan for land use without regulations. A municipality can and should plan for infrastructure planning for capital projects. Examples include planning for a sewer system, a sidewalk system, the location of your schools, park location, location of your town green, and the location of other municipal facilities. These are all ways that your community can plan for future growth without imposing regulations upon developers. Other methods include tax increment financing, which is a special tax for certain districts for enhanced services within that district, a tax stabilization agreement with businesses to encourage certain businesses to locate within a certain district, or the purchase of development rights by the municipality to ensure that a certain piece of land is remain conserved for the future. Regulatory implementation of the plan. There are a number of ways to implement a plan through regulations. Some examples of this are zoning regulations for permitted uses, conditional uses, variances, and waivers. Additionally, municipalities may choose to impose site plan review, subdivision review, or flood hazard regulations as ways to implement the municipal plan. Zoning regulations are the classic zone sorting of uses. These types of regulations, as was discussed earlier, are designed to separate incompatible uses. Zones typically have consistent internal standards, such as dimensional standards, setbacks, density, frontage, minimum or maximum lot size, and parking and signage requirements. To impose permitted use zoning, municipality would list the permitted uses for various districts in its bylaw. These uses can be permitted or denied by the administrative officer. An example might be a single-family residence. Typically, single-family residences are permitted in residential districts. However, they might be prohibited in a forest conservation district. Therefore, that's something that the administrative officer could not permit in that district, and therefore would not be permitted there. Why would we have permitted uses? Well, this allows for a paper trail, and it allows a municipality to conduct a very basic review of a project. Conditional use review is another type of review. This allows a municipality to permit a use conditionally. This means that the development must meet certain standards. It's a more intensive level of review than permitted use review. Typically, a conditional use review looks at the external impacts of the development. So it's looking at the effect of the development on nearby parcels and the adjoining area. Some of the review criteria that the municipality can review in conditional use review include the capacity of existing or planned community facilities, such as the ability of the municipality to provide school service or wastewater service, the character of the area affected by that development, and traffic on nearby roads. Additionally, many municipalities consider noise, vibration, dust, odor, and other standards in their bylaw. These allow the municipality to consider all of the related impacts that might come from a particular development. Zoning bylaws must have a provision on variances. Variance criteria must be taken directly from state law. This allows the applicant to ask the appropriate municipal panel to modify the local bylaw. Consider, however, that requests for variances may be frequent, as there may be many parcels that are not able to be developed as the landowner may wish. However, approvals for those variance requests should not be frequent. What are the criteria for granting variances? The first is that there must be unique physical conditions to the parcel, such as lot size or shape. Additionally, there must be no possibility of developing the lot in strict conformity with the bylaw. Moreover, the applicant must not have created unnecessary hardship, the variance must not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and whatever variance is eventually granted must be the minimum deviation from the bylaw that is necessary. Consider that in order to receive a variance, the applicant must meet all five of those criteria. If the applicant cannot meet any one of those criteria, the variance should not be granted, and perhaps the bylaw should be modified in the future so that such landowners will not have to request such variances. In addition to variances, municipalities may also permit waivers from local bylaws. Waivers are a less restrictive requirement for bylaw modification than variances. The waiver review process allows the appropriate municipal panel to permit development that doesn't comply strictly with the bylaw. However, in order to permit a waiver, the waiver criteria needs to be specifically provided for in the bylaw before it's granted. In granting the waiver, the appropriate municipal panel does not have to adhere strictly to the five variance criteria. The panel must merely consider other criteria in the bylaw for granting waivers. Some examples of reasons to grant waivers are parcels that need handicapped access or access to fire safety that might not otherwise be permitted under the strict requirements of the bylaw. Beyond those methods of regulation, municipalities may also conduct site plan review of parcels before they are developed. A site plan review is conducted by the appropriate municipal panel. The site plan review evaluates the internal properties of the site. So at this point, the AMP is examining things like exterior lighting, landscaping, parking, traffic access and flow to or from the parcel to be developed, and the signage on that parcel. Those are the things that the municipality can evaluate in site plan review. Another form of regulatory review is subdivision review. Subdivision review ensures safe, usable division of parcels. The purpose of having subdivision review is to evaluate the impacts of subdivisions now and in the future. So we're looking not only at the current impacts of what will happen because of the divided parcels, but how those parcels may eventually be developed in the future. Some of the criteria that the appropriate municipal panel may review in subdivision review include minimum lot size, the appropriate lot size for the district, adequate vehicular access, and adequate infrastructure, such as fire protection, roads, sidewalks, access to things like water and sewer. In addition to those criteria, there's various levels of review that the appropriate municipal panel may require an applicant to go through in order to obtain a subdivision review permit. And the levels of review start at the lowest level, which is sketch plan review, then perhaps may move on to preliminary subdivision review, and finally to a final subdivision review. Municipalities may also wish to impose flood hazard regulations as a form of regulatory bylaw. This bylaw can be adopted as a standalone regulation or as part of a unified bylaw or as part of land use bylaws. FEMA will not insure properties unless there are local flood hazard regulations. Many towns with no land use regulations whatsoever have flood hazard bylaws. In summary, there are a number of different ways to implement the municipal plan. There's two options, the non-regulatory approach and the regulatory approach. Each community is going to have a strong local discussion to determine what method is appropriate for the needs of that community. Implementing the vision for the community can be more than simply zoning for a particular use. Also consider that there is no land use bylaw template. Each community is unique and should work hard to consider the needs of the local community.